Middle East and Africa.
Syria's collapse. Falling apart. Syria, fragmented and shattered by war, is looking ever more like Lebanon.
At first, it seemed that the opening in August of the Abu al-Zendain crossing between rebel and regime-held territory within Syria might herald the reconnection of the fragments of the country. On a hill outside al-Bab, north of Aleppo, rebels protected by Turkey and regime forces protected by Russia and Iran pulled back the barbed wire. Syrians displaced in the north planned long-awaited visits home. They cheered the prospect of a reprieve from smugglers' exorbitant tariffs. Foreign governments wondered if refugees might venture back home. But a day later, shells were flying and the crossing was once again closed. While the eyes of the world are on Gaza, Syria's war, in which over 400,000 have died and 14 million have been displaced, grinds into its 14th year. The shattered country is looking more like Lebanon, its chaotic neighbour. It is increasingly divided along ethnic and religious lines. Warlords backed by foreign powers defend their turf, funding their militias like highwaymen and charging for passage across the lines of conflict. Outside powers have piled in, adopting local leaders and picking at ethnic and religious seams. And in a once fast-growing middle-income economy, over a quarter of the population live on less than $2.15 a day. Few did before 2011, when the civil war began. The north, with roughly half of Syria's current population of 16 million, broke free of the regime's control 8 years ago. A Sunni fighter runs the northwest. The Kurds, backed by America, rule the northeast. Sandwiched between them are Turkey's armed forces inside Syria and their local proxy, the Syrian Interim Government, or SIG. The regime in Damascus has lost control of Syria's skies and its borders. Its foreign backers, Russia, Iran, and its Shia Lebanese offshoot, Hezbollah, act as if the country were their own. Shia militias from Iraq and Lebanon dominate the borderlands. Hezbollah has used the country as a base to launch missiles against Israel. Meanwhile, in the southwest, the Druze, once loyal to the Assad family, have been protesting against Bashar al-Assad, Syria's dictator, for over a year, demanding free elections and his removal. In the north, proceeds from smuggling and sales of oil and wheat have helped the Kurds and Idlib's erstwhile jihadists consolidate their rule. "He's not the master of his own home," says a UN official. Holed up in the capital, Mr. Assad still believes he can reunite Syria and restore it as a regional power. He talks oddly about administrative decentralization as a way to bring the country together. A plan to end a much-loathed conscription policy is said to be on the cards, and he argues, not without reason, that if he can stay put, his foreign foes' fear of Iran and another exodus of refugees may yet push them to abandon their demands for political transition and to restore ties. Last year, the Arab League readmitted him and began to send aid. In July, 8 EU member states proposed engaging with Mr. Assad. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan wants to re-establish relations and revive Syria's economy as a way to persuade Syrian refugees to return. Yet Mr. Assad's army is too spent to recapture the north. Without external finance, he risks losing even the territory he still holds. Few countries will risk American sanctions to invest in his fire sale of many state holdings, such as Damascus Airport, let alone fund the $200 billion the World Bank estimates it will cost to rebuild Syria. Judged by the density of nighttime lighting viewed from space, the World Bank reckons Syria's economy has shrunk by over 80% since 2010. The Syrian pound has lost 99% of its value against the dollar since the start of the war, a collapse similar to that of the Lebanese pound. In the north, Syrians have ditched it for the Turkish lira. Last year, Mr. Assad cut most subsidies, hobbling more basic services. "I'm happy to volunteer, but not to pay to volunteer," says a teacher whose salary no longer covers her bus ride to school. While the state crumbles, Mr. Assad shakes down smugglers and has a near monopoly on the global production of Captagon and amphetamine. Drug exports are worth almost twice as much as all licit exports combined, says the World Bank. But the revenues accrue to Mr. Assad. His base is narrowing too. In a recent government reshuffle, almost all the appointees were Alawites, his own minority sect. Others think they can save the country. In a gated mansion in Al Ray, near the Turkish border, ministers from the SIG, a body formed by a rebel coalition, consider themselves the future of a united post-Assad Syria. Within their territory, which extends 40 kilometres south from Turkey's border towards Aleppo, Syria's second city, people speak freely. Anti-government banners hang from official buildings. Policemen earn $100 a month, five times more than they would in the regime's domain. Electricity runs round the clock, and an industrial zone offers investors access to cheap labour and global markets tax-free via Turkey. But Turkey, which has thousands of troops in northern Syria, wants the SIG to be its proxy rather the basis of a stable future government. Just 15% of the customs revenue Turkey collects at the international border crossings goes to the SIG, says an official. Most goes to local councils and the militias that make up the 45,000-strong Free Syrian Army. Everything is in the hands of the Turks, admits the commander of a Turkish-based Syrian militia. Turkey doesn't want us to unite in case we say no to Turkey. That's why they fund so many militias. Many local representatives, including the SIG's prime minister, are ethnic Turks. Even the minarets on many restored mosques copy the Turkish design, with pincer-thin metal spears rather than Syria's traditional stone octagons. "It's northern Cyprus in the making," says another UN official, referring to the enclave Turkey has held for 50 years. Over the past 2,000 years, Syria has been fragmented more often than it has been united, the tool of foreign powers, more than a sovereign country. That seems to be true, once again.